Welcome to Guardians Weekly on the Cleveland Guardians Radio Network. Guardians Weekly is brought to you by Progressive, helping Guardians fans save hundreds on car insurance.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Guardians Weekly. Jim Rosenhaus along with you this weekend from Atlanta, Georgia, where the Guardians are taking on the Atlanta Braves in a three-game series. Start of a two-city trip for Cleveland. They'll take on Houston next week, Tuesday through Thursday. Good show lined up for you today. In just a little bit, we will hear from outfielder Stephen Kwan, relief pitcher Hunter Gaddis, and also visit with starting pitcher Tanner Bibee and also another member of the starting rotation, Ben Lively, as well as a farm report with Rob Serfolio, the director of player development for the Guardians. But first, our week in review, and after an off day on Monday, the Guardians finished up their homestand with a three-game series against Boston, and on Tuesday night, with rain falling throughout much of the ballgame, the Guardians received some good pitching in this one as they needed it. Tanner Houck going for the Red Sox. He shut down the Guardians a week prior in Boston. And for the Guardians, it was Ben Lively making his second start on the young season, and he was sharp.
Ben Lively is one strike away from being the first Cleveland pitcher to go six innings in a two-and-a-half-week span. And that is so critical to save that bullpen. Now the kick and the delivery from the veteran right-hander. And it's swung on, line shot right at the center fielder, Tyler Freeman. Had to jump at the last moment and made the catch. And Ben Lively continues to dominate. Scoreless in the middle of the sixth from downtown Cleveland.
The Red Sox got the game's first run in the seventh inning on a solo home run by Willyar Abreu. But the Guardians answered in the bottom of the seventh. Will Brennan got it started with a double, bringing Tyler Freeman to the plate.
The two-strike pitch. Swung on, banged up the middle. Base hit center. Brennan hits third. He's coming home. We are tied at one. And that's why manager Stephen Vogt did not bunt. Even on an 0-2 count, Tyler Freeman stayed locked in. And he continues to torture the Red Sox with a two-strike RBI single to center. And it's a 1-1 game. And Tanner Houck has proven to be human.
Later on in the seventh, Brian Rocchio's sac fly gave the Guardians a 2-1 lead. And then in the eighth inning, Jose Ramirez let things off with a blast.
Now the set in the 1-2 pitch. Swung on, hit pretty well to right. Back goes Ref Snyder. Track, wall, gone! Jose Ramirez took a 97-mile-an-hour fastball on the outside corner and shot it the other way to right. Number four for Jose Ramirez. And the Guardians get a mammoth insurance run and now lead it 3-1 in the eighth inning. And Jose Ramirez now with two home runs from each side of the plate this year.
And then a big two-out hit from Esteban Florial extended the lead a little bit further.
Now the set, now the 2-2 pitch. Swung on, ripped to deep right. Back goes Ref Snyder. It's over his head. Rips off the wall. Into third is Freeman. He'll try to score. There will be no throw to the plate. It's an RBI double for Esteban Florial. And the Guardians now lead it 4-1. A left-on-left matchup. And scoring from first was Freeman. And the Red Sox did not do a very good job with the relay coming into the cutoff man from Ref Snyder. And they would have had a play at the plate, but they just never got any kind of a throw off to the plate. And the Guardians with two in the seventh, two in the eighth, and their late-inning magic continues.
And in the ninth, it was Emmanuel Clase on to try and nail down another save.
Nothing in two, the count. 4-1 Cleveland. Bases empty, two down in the ninth. Clase lets it rip. And Abreu, a swing and a miss. Ball game. Clase pumps that fist in the glove, strikes out the side, and the Guardians, with another dominant pitching performance tonight, wipe out the Boston Red Sox 4-1.
So a nice start to the series against the Red Sox. On a chilly night on Wednesday, it was all Boston as they shut out the Guardians 8-0. So that set up the rubber match of the series on Thursday. A cold afternoon game downtown made it tough on the hitters, but it didn't bother Will Brennan in the second inning.
Now the windup, and now the 1-2 delivery. Swung and hit a ton. Deep right field. Back is Abreu, and it is gone! Even into the wind. Will Brennan hits his third. And the Guardians with a 1-0 lead here in the second.
Still in the second, after two walks and a hit batter, the bases were loaded for Jose Ramirez.
Anderson's ready. He fires. A swing and a drive to deep right. Away back. Gone. Pitch number 10. Deep into the lower deck and right. A grand slam for Jose. A 5-0 Cleveland lead. And Alex Cora with a walk to the mound. One hitter too late.
Boston clawed their way back into it with two runs in the third and two more in the sixth inning to make it a one-run Guardians lead at 5-4. But in the seventh, a big insurance run came across the plate thanks to the legs of Jose Ramirez.
Now the 1-1 runner at first goes, pitches off the glove of McGuire. Ramirez is coming home. Nobody's at the plate. Ball was flipped back to the plate. Martin wasn't there. Jose scores. Naylor goes to third. And Ramirez, again, the smartest base runner in baseball, steals a run on a ball that glanced off the glove of McGuire, went behind him about 4 or 5 feet. Hosey never hesitated. The pitcher never covered the plate. And so it'll be a stolen base for Naylor and a pass ball that enabled Hosey to score. And Jose Ramirez just continues to be a one-man wrecking crew at 6-4 Cleveland. He is something special, and we get to watch him every day. Wow.
And once again, it was Emmanuel Clase on to close things out in the ninth.
Outfield playing Ref Snyder as if he were a left-handed pull hitter. The 1-2 pitch. A swing and a little weak pop. Shallow left. Arias near the foul line. Makes a catch. Ball game. And the Guardians have another series win. They take 5 out of 7 from Boston here in 2024, and they win the finale today 6-4.
So a nice finish to the homestand for the Guardians, and then it was on the road, opening up the series here in Atlanta on Friday night. And after an early start with a home run off the bat of Stephen Kwan, it was all Braves after that, and Chris Sale, it was terrific. Plenty of offense for Atlanta in a 6-2 Braves victory over the Guardians. Game 2 of the series, Saturday night, 7:20, and the series wraps up Sunday afternoon at 1:35. Stay with us. When we come back, we'll hear from outfielder Stephen Kwan. That's next on the Cleveland Clinic Guardians Radio Network.
When you switch and save with Progressive, you could use that money towards going to see your favorite team in the playoffs.
Progressive cannot guarantee that you can go see your favorite team in the playoffs. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds on average, but we cannot guarantee that your favorite team will make the playoffs or even finish with a winning record. They could easily lose more than half their games and finish in the cellar because they stink badly and haven't made the playoffs in years. Savings? Very possible. Playoffs? Highly doubtful.
Switch and see if you can save at Progressive.com.
Progressive Casualty Insurance and Affiliates. Not available in all states. We cannot be held liable for your favorite team's terrible and frankly embarrassing performances now or ever.
Welcome back to Guardians Weekly. Jim Rosenhaus along with you from Truist Park in Atlanta, Georgia. The Guardians taking on the Braves this weekend. They haven't been here to Atlanta since the 2016 season when they played at Old Turner Field. This is their first visit here to a beautiful new ballpark in Truist Field. Stephen Kwan's been off to a red-hot start at the plate for the Guardians this season. He has been at or among the league leaders in batting through the first 3-4 weeks of the campaign. And with him being on a tear since the season began, he talked about what's allowed him to get off to a great start.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is being aggressive with balls in the zone. I think last year and even the first year, my identity was kind of like support role, see a bunch of pitches, allow Hosey and all of them to kind of get a feel for what the pitcher has, and then that kind of put me in some tough spots, a lot of two-strike counts, and I can work my way in two-strike counts, but, to really slug and hit out of that is really hard. So I think giving myself a little more credit this year and swinging at some pitches in zone are really helping.
And it seems like with men on base or our bases loaded, maybe even ramp that up even further. Is that a plan of attack when you do have a chance to drive in some runs?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Hedgy and a couple other of the coaches said it really well. It's like, I think for us, like running scoring position, it's nerve-wracking for us as hitters, but even more nerve-wracking for the pitchers. Like, they're changing their whole kind of strategy with runners on base. Taking advantage of that and understanding, they're the ones in a tough spot right now. Like, I should be comfortable attacking, being aggressive, and then, trying to push the envelope.
It sounds like a great plan, but I'm sure it doesn't always work. But the team, as a team, is over 300 right now, men in scoring position. So can that go up and down the lineup?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you can have a plan, and that's kind of the foundation. Execution's obviously way harder, and then obviously baseball's going to do its thing. You can hit a ball really hard, and somebody catches it. But I think if we can kind of stick to that plan and whatever plan is for that day, I think we're going to be in a good spot.
Not sure if you heard the other night after the game, Josh Naylor was complimentary of you in that. You get this thing going. You've been a leadoff hitter a lot in your career, even before pro ball. How enjoyable and how natural is it for you now to be in that spot where you set the table?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a huge honor, obviously. It was kind of my identity before, as being that support role character. Just trying to do anything I can, like if I get out, communicate to the team. It's definitely familiar home. It's definitely difficult at times as well when you don't see a guy and you're kind of the guinea pig out there trying to figure out what the guy has that day. But it's a lot of fun. It's definitely a huge privilege and one that I love being a part of.
And team-wise, you kind of touched on it in the spring about last year and the challenges, especially for some of the younger players. In hindsight, something that has kind of fueled this season when you look at it, the way it's gone so far?
Yeah, I think so. I think last year was a huge indicator of how maybe not to go by things. I think that was a huge step for a lot of players, including myself, on like preparation, kind of what we're trying to do. Having that year of experience, I think, with all of us has been super instrumental. I think you kind of feel a little more comfortable. You feel like you belong in a lot of those things. It seems like it's working out so far.
The fun factor. It seems like this team's having a ton of fun. I'm sure winning's a big part of that, but I feel like it was happening maybe even before some of the dramatic victories. Is there anyone in particular or a certain thing that's spurring that on and making this a really fun ball club?
Yeah, absolutely. Hedges makes it always a lot of fun. I like to say that he's usually the one saying the dumbest stuff in the locker room. So when he's saying the dumbest stuff, people aren't afraid to say dumb things as well. And I think when you can feel looser and more like yourself, that just creates a really good locker room. He's always saying some outrageous stuff, and he's yelling. We're all yelling. We're just really pulling for each other. It feels like a real team. It doesn't feel like, we're coworkers or any of that. Like, we enjoy seeing each other. We hang out with each other off the field. It's a good group of guys.
Now, Stephen, as always, thanks for the time. Appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate it, Rosie.
Always fun to visit and talk hitting, among other things, with Stephen Kwan. And the offense taking care of business early in the season. So has the bullpen, with some unfamiliar arms from years past, including Hunter Gaddis, who's been terrific this season. He's made that transition from being a starting pitcher to the bullpen, and he talked about how much he's enjoying that new role and that it's exceeded even his own expectations so far.
Definitely. I mean, I'm really just enjoying it. I told Vogt and, the rest of the guys when we first got into spring training, I was like, I just want the ball. I just want the ball. I want to throw the ball as many times as I can, whatever it is, starting or leaving, I didn't care. So, but it's been going well.
When did you realize that this would be the role? At what point in spring training?
When they told me like 4 or 5 days left of spring training, probably. I mean, I kind of noticed I was only going out for one inning towards the end of spring training, so I kind of figured. But, you know, there's still a little doubt of, like, maybe there's something, maybe not. But then once when they officially told me, I was like, okay.
What's been the biggest difference, you think, in this role as opposed to when you were starting?
I mean, you could just go, you know, if it's one inning, you can just go out and give 110% of whatever you got that day. You know, we're starting, it's like you kind of, you ease into the game. You know, you don't just throw every pitch as physically hard as you can, per se. So it's nice to just be able to go, like, you know, let it eat for inning.
And it seems like you have a different persona on the mound now. Maybe not. I don't know. Do you approach it differently when you go out there now, and especially in key spots late in the game?
Oh, yeah. You know, I like to – it's a little psycho mode. I've always pitched better angry. And, you know, starting, it's like I can't – like I said, I can't, you know, give 110 on every single pitch. But, you know, in this relief, in this role, you know, it's really just – psycho mode, go let it eat.
So you say you're angry. Does anyone have to, because you're a gentle giant, one of the nicest people on the team, does someone get you riled up before you go out there?
No, I know where to find it. You know, multiple years of, you know, my dad knows the secret too of I pitch better angry. So I know how to, you know, he helped me growing up get to that mode, you know, where it helps me perform. But I know how to get there and, you know, what it takes to get to that spot.
You mentioned being accepted in the bullpen. There's not some initiation you have to go through, is there?
No, it's just, you know, last year when I would kind of show up, you know, there's always just jokes around like, oh, yeah, you know, you're a starter. You know, just messing around. It's all fun and games. But it's just good, you know, to be out there. Everybody's supporting each other. So it's real nice.
When you look at the series coming up with the Atlanta Braves, you're going back home, first time in the major leagues. What are you looking forward to about that?
I mean, spending time with the family, you know, especially nobody has to travel too far. You know, I don't have to worry about where they're going to stay the night. You know, they just go back home. So it'll just be nice. You know, I grew up around there, you know, was a Braves fan early on. And it'll just be nice to actually play in a game inside the field.
And you mentioned being a Braves fan. Any particular players that you grew up following and enjoying watching?
Yeah, Rafael Fekal way back in the day, Chipper Jones. You know, those were the two, like, big time growing up. That was it.
And so decisions on road trips that not many have to make, but you could stay at home. Did they save a bed for you? Or is your room still intact where you grew up?
I would have to ask. I'm sure my mom will, you know, figure something out. I'm sure she would love it. You know, maybe a night I can go spend at home. But I don't know. I like the hotel, too. It's nice to maybe get away for a little bit, too. So we'll see.
All part of the new road trip starting for the Guardians. Hunter, thanks a lot for coming by. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's Hunter Gaddis, sure having a great weekend here in Atlanta as he comes back home to pitch in front of the home folks. Stay with us. When we come back, we'll hear from starting pitchers Tanner Bibee and Ben Lively. That's next as we continue with Guardians Weekly on the Cleveland Clinic Guardians Radio Network.
Runners will be moving on this 3-2 pitch. Here it comes. And McCann swings and misses the changeup again. It's been his best pitch today. Bibee with his fourth strikeout.
Guardians Weekly continues from Atlanta, where the Guardians are taking on the Braves this weekend. Jim Rosenhaus along with you. Great to have you with us on this Saturday morning. If you're listening in on our flagship station, WTAM, or if you're listening to us in podcast form, wherever you download your favorite podcasts, you know that the Guardians are off to a good start this season, and a lot of that has been good starting pitching, including from one of last year's solid rookies, Tanner Bibee, now in his first full Major League season. Pitched well in a win over Oakland last Sunday, and we caught up with him afterwards, and he talked about his progression since his first outing of the season. And he says he's finally pleased with how things are going the last two starts.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like the last two starts have been definitely more me. I mean, I don't think like I always say, there's no one's a finished product yet. But I think I'm getting closer and closer to where I can be comfortable every start, be more efficient every start, and I think I'm just doing better and better every start.
And when you look at that progression, I'm sure everyone would like to get out of the gate throwing their best right away, but is that just not realistic sometimes?
I mean, sometimes no. I mean, sometimes you're working through body stuff, maybe some mental stuff. I think getting out of the gates hot is a, I don't want to say it's a rare thing, but it's definitely difficult because, I mean, coming off the year last year and coming right into this year, it's very different. And I think being able to kind of come back from the start I had, I think it was it's good. I like where I'm at right now.
How about transitioning from spring training to regular season? What's the biggest difference when you look at a start during the spring to a regular season start?
Regular season starts matter. you're in a big stadium. You're back to where you were at the end of the year, and it's night and day. I mean, there's a reason people say that spring training doesn't really matter too much. So yeah, you just gotta. It's a very big difference where you live. I mean, the weather here from Arizona is also super different. So yeah.
Stay with us. We'll have more with Tanner Bibee after this short break. Tanner, I know when we talked in the spring, you mentioned you had worked on some things in the off season. Are you seeing the fruits of that coming into play here as you get deeper into the season?
Yeah, I think that's the one thing throughout my entire start has been the best is my actual stuff. I think my stuff has been really good. It's more about throwing quality pitches and commanding the zone, which I think the last two starts I think I definitely have done. So I think we're almost there. We're almost to a good spot.
And team-wise, what a start for this team. I hesitate to say, did you see this coming in the spring? But obviously you're always confident. But what is it about this team early on that's allowed it to have a good amount of success?
I think it's just the chemistry and the energy and the wanting to win. I think with how young we are and at everyone's stage at where they're at their career, I think it's a good thing for us to have energy, for us to have some fun. And I think that's what we're doing. I think that through the first, 21 games, I think we've out-energized a lot of teams. I think we've out-chemistried a lot of teams, and I think we've out-wanted it, in my opinion. But, yeah, that's what I would say is helping us a lot.
And how does that chemistry happen? Is it just because a lot of you played together in the minor leagues?
I mean, it definitely helps. I mean, I feel like a lot of us play together in the minor leagues. I mean, we got some good veterans in Hedgie and Cookie now. I think it's just a nice, healthy mix, and I think everyone is just good people. I think everyone wants to win. Everyone wants to win for each other. Everyone wants each other to do well, and I think it's just a good recipe for success.
And obviously you enjoy each other's company. Off day yesterday, you go to the Cavs game. What did you think of that whole scene over there?
Oh, my God, that was amazing. I mean, I've heard that they've showed out for Cavs games, but that was my first basketball game ever that I've been to professionally. But they showed out, and I mean, the Cavs dominated all game, so it was really fun to watch.
All right, Tanner. Well, you've been fun to watch, too, as the season gets going here. Thanks a lot for coming by. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
And starting pitcher Tanner Bibee, who's joined in the rotation by Ben Lively, who had a late start to his season because of an illness during spring training. But in his two starts, both against Boston, he's been terrific. And he talked about how he's been able to catch up and get back on track so quickly.
I mean, just staying with my strengths and just keeping my pitches competitive, throwing the ball over the plate and getting ahead.
Tuesday night against the Red Sox, second time you face them in back-to-back starts. Is that a challenge in terms of how you approach that?
I mean, in a way. I mean, you always have, like, the voice in the back of your head is like, oh, they've seen everything before, like, and you got to mix up everything. But it was kind of the same game plan. We just mixed the sides of the plate and up and down.
So it's two strong starts of a season that was delayed. For fans who don't know, you missed some time in spring training due to a virus that really, it seemed like it hit almost everybody on the ball club. How tough was it for you? How long were you down, and how bad a shape were you in at certain points?
I mean, like, the third day again, I couldn't even get out of my bed, and I felt just, like, worn out. I was sweating, like, all night long, and I'd get real freezing, and, yeah, I ended up losing, like, 12, 15 pounds. And the first day I tried to play catch, it was like I was using my whole body to throw like 60 feet, and I was like, this sucks. I was messed up. Me and Zay were kind of on the same program, and we were both knocked down, and we started building up together, and it was pretty fun getting to work with him, and you know, we got started getting competitive and just keep on going.
And in your situation, though, you're with a new ball club and you want to make that impression. How tough was that to not be able to do that?
Oh, I mean, yeah, there's nothing you can do about it. And that's what I thought about. And I was like, the only thing I was telling myself was get my body ready and make sure everything's healthy and ready to go.
Starting pitcher Ben Lively joining us. And Ben, you arrive here with Cleveland with an interesting career under your belt that included some time in Korea. Tell us about that time spent. What did it mean to you to be able to go over there in terms of your career, and what did it do to help you?
I mean, yeah, it was wild over there. It was really cool, a really cool culture shock, and I ate everything. It was so cool seeing all the traditional stuff and all the, like, everything they had to offer. It was so cool. But for me over there, it was just, like, a really growing up moment. Like, even if you have a bad game, you can sulk and get mad all you want to. But, like, over there, just put in perspective for me that there was no one there. It was like, dude, you figure it out. Like you got to figure it out now. And, like, that kind of progressed me to, like, be more disciplined like I am now. Like, I feel like now I don't get as frustrated about a lot of the small things I did early in my career.
So it sounds like for you it was an adventure. Not everybody looks at it that way. How come you did? Like, how did you arrive at that mindset when you went over there?
Oh, I'm always like that. If I'm somewhere cool, I want to go walk around and see what they have to offer. I want to go look in the mountains. I want to go golf. I want to go check out the beach. Of course, I'm going to look for waves everywhere. But it was, I mean, yeah, that's just who I am. I like being outside.
So what are you looking forward to in Cleveland this summer? Have you kind of done some research on some fun things you can do?
Definitely Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Definitely got to go there and probably going to spend a full day staring at everything. But do that, and I'm going to check out the beaches here. Who knows? Probably go fishing here too.
And fishing-wise, that runs in your family. Explain just how deep those roots are for you to be on the water.
No, since birth. Yeah, my dad's been fishing since his senior year of high school, and that's what I grew up doing on the side, and wouldn't change it for anything. I can't wait to do it when I'm done playing too.
You've been with a bunch of ball clubs, different organizations. What's been fun about this group so far?
Everyone's just so positive, and it's awesome. You look at everyone, it's like no one's gonna beat us. It's like this is the coolest vibe to walk into, and it just like makes everybody confident. Like even if you're struggling a little bit, you're gonna see that and feed off everybody else, and you're gonna keep being competitive and keep getting better no matter what.
Nice going again last night, Ben. Thanks a lot for coming by.
Appreciate it.
That is Ben Lively, who has been a real nice shot in the arm for the rotation, especially with the injury that has ended the season for Shane Bieber. It's all hands on deck now, and Lively has done some nice work so far in his two starts. Stay with us. When we come back, we'll have a minor league report with Rob Serfolio, the director of player development. That's next on the Cleveland Clinic Guardians Radio Network.
Now the two-strike pitch. Strike three called. What an inning for Ben Lively. As Ben Lively, with a 10-pitch third inning, has now three strikeouts in the game, and we are scoreless in the middle of the third.
When you switch and save with Progressive, you could use that money towards scoring courtside seats for your favorite team.
Progressive cannot guarantee that you can score courtside seats. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds on average, but courtside seats can be astronomical. Maybe if your team plays in a smaller market, you could swing it. Even still, it's unlikely. Maybe fourth row, which are still incredible seats that you'll enjoy greatly. Savings possible. Courtside, long shot.
Switch and see if you could save at Progressive.com.
Progressive Casualty Insurance and Affiliates. Not available in all states. Progressive cannot guarantee that someone really tall will not sit in front of you at the game, rendering your excellent seats just okay.
Welcome back. It's Guardians Weekly from Atlanta this week. Jim Rosenhaus along with you for our final segment. As always, we try and catch up with Rob Serfolio, the Director of Player Development for the Guardians. And this week, that meant a phone call down to Lynchburg, Virginia, where he's taking in some of the action from the single-A ball club there. And we start on the position side with Rob. And one of the top players on that position front is Ralphie Velasquez, just 18 years of age. He's last year's first-round draft pick for the Guardians, and Rob talked about how he's handled that jump to the next level at such a young age in the farm system.
You use the word young, that would almost be an understatement for some of the position players we have on this team, which is awesome. You know, part of that is a result of just some of the new rules in minor league baseball. You know, 5 or 6 years ago, there was a level in between rookie ball and a full-season squad. That level doesn't really exist anymore. So you get a lot of these really talented but young players, and a lot of them are high schoolers too that, you know, haven't really lived on their own, whether it's in college or wherever. So it creates a really cool set of challenges as guys are trying to just adapt to the highest level of baseball that they've ever played, but also really being on their own, like driving their own routine at the field, away from the field. And you mentioned Ralphie, who, you know, obviously we took him the first round last year, high school kid, got a taste of pro ball in Arizona. And And man, he's transitioned really nicely so far for the Hillcats. And one of the things that's fun about watching him play is just the professionalism and how he goes about his at-bats, the consistency. You know, he really manages the zone well. He can put a charge into the baseball. There's some, you know, pretty impressive things he does in the batter's box. You know, our staff here in Lynchburg has done a great job of putting a plan in place to continue to allow him to impact both sides of the ball.
And another young position player that you have with some interesting bloodlines for sure, Jason Churio, playing the outfield, off to a nice start too. And what are you seeing from him?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of people know his older brother Jackson, and we're pretty excited about the younger of the two Churios that we get to work with every day. And you know, similar to Ralphie, just another young kid, just 18 years old, going to be 19 in the middle of the season. So two really young players that are talented. And I think the thing that's exciting about both of them is they come to the field ready to work every day. And Jason has a chance to impact the ball really in kind of the five tools areas. Like he gets on base a ton. He doesn't strike out, and he's learning how, as he develops physically, to kind of tap into some of his strength and power offensively. He's a switch hitter. His brother just hits right. And Jason hits from both sides of the plate, and we're continuing to just, you know, raise the bar on what he's able to do. And so that, you know, hopefully in a couple of years when he's facing upper level pitching, you know, he's able to impact the ball from both sides of the plate. But center field, right field, fans will see him playing all over the place in the outfield as we just continue to add versatility to his plate. But, you know, really smart kid, comes from a great family, and you know, we're really excited to see how he does in his first full season as well as Ralphie.
And I know you love middle infielders. Your shortstop at Lynchburg is Angel Hinoa. And what has he done to put himself on the radar?
Yeah, so, you know, this is a kid that got a chance to come to this level last year. So Ralphie, you know, he's kind of the Ralphie and Churio of this team in 2023. So it was a really young kid that we challenged. He's now repeating the level at 19 years old. And, man, it's noticeable the jump that he's made. And this is a kid that worked with us a lot in the offseason on, you know, some of the finer elements of his defense, his throwing, like making sure he's an accurate thrower of the baseball. There are some mechanical work we did to ensure that shortstop was a position that he could play long term, and he really worked on his body, added some really good strength, just continues to get better athletically, and I think that's showing through so far when you're looking at some of the things he did last year and some of the things he's doing this year. He's really raised his game from a complete player side of things. He's playing an awesome shortstop. He's also bounced around playing some second and third. To your point, Rosie, is I think our organization's become well known for loving middle infielders. We got to make sure those guys are versatile, given how many of them we have. But Hanau's done an awesome job, and he's been a great teammate, you know, vocal leader on the bench, really pulling up some of his teammates that are a little bit younger. And he's kind of, you know, at 20 years old, somehow the veteran of the position players on this team, and using his experience to his advantage so far.
Rob Serfolio joining us, the Director of Player Development for the Guardians, and we're talking Single-A Lynchburg this week and some good young arms down there. Let's start with a high school drafted kid from a year ago, Alex Clemmy. Big arm from the left side. What are you seeing so far from him?
Yeah, well, you hit it right there. Big arm from the left side. Really just in the infancy stages of learning how to pitch professionally. And it is awesome when you get a chance to work with a kid that is as talented as Clem is. I mean, this is a big physical lefty. You'll see him up to 96, 97. Last night he threw, was up to 96, was really commanding all three pitches out of the gate. And now it's really just about getting him experience, putting him in the environment where he's going to get challenged to throw strikes. He's going to get challenged to use his best stuff and execute in game. And it's going to be a really fun summer. I mean, this kid has a really strong desire to be great. He shows up every day. He's working his tail off to get better, really refine his delivery. And it's really cool to see young guys like this that come in that are super talented, but with a strong desire to just continue to get better and better.
And I know you mentioned Jackson Humphreys is another young high school drafted player who you're excited about on the mound. How come?
Jackson's another high school kid out of North Carolina in 2022. also has big stuff from the left side. You know, he battled a little bit of an illness out of the gate, which was unfortunate as he got settled in here to the affiliate. So we haven't gotten to see him in some extended outings yet, but you know, he started his season last year in the ACL, made it up to Lynchburg for a couple starts and really showcased, you know, some of the big stuff that he has. And I think as he gets healthy, we'll start to see some of that settle in here as well. But just, you know, the common theme with all these guys is talented young player that's going to have to adapt to a lot of new things in his first year as a, you know, at a full season affiliate, and just all the challenges that come with performing early, making sure they're taking their body to be ready to go by the dog days of summer. So it's going to be an exciting progression for these guys as we continue to push them, you know, both on and off the field.
And one more pitcher, Matt Wilkinson, college drafted pitcher. Do you notice the experience difference at that level?
You do. And, you know, I'm glad his name's coming up because, you know, you just look at his draft profile. You know, he's a 10th rounder, signed for, you know, right around what slot value is for that pick. But, you know, maybe a guy that hasn't gotten some of the prospect type is some of the other names we've talked about so far. But, man, this guy can pitch. It's really impressive whether he's throwing in a bullpen or he's throwing in game. If you see this guy down in the count, that's probably a unicorn right there. I mean, this is some elite strike throwing with really impressive ability to command the baseball and command three pitches. And, you know, he's obviously gotten off to a tremendous start for the Hillcats. And, you know, I think him, to your point, having a little bit of experience in college, you know, makes him stand out just with how he pitches versus, you know, some of the young guys. But, you know, this is an exciting lefty. I mean, just a trio of really exciting lefties. And, you know, while Wilk doesn't have maybe the top end stuff with the velocity that Kalem and Jackson do, I mean, his field of pitch, his ability to throw three pitches for strikes is really encouraging, and a guy that I'm glad, you know, is getting a call out.
Great stuff as always, Rob. Enjoy the rest of your time down in Lynchburg, and we'll catch up with you soon.
All right, Rosie, I appreciate it.
And just an update on Matt Wilkinson after Rob talked about him glowingly. Well, that night, Wilkinson went out and had the game of his young pro career, 6 no-hit innings with 15 strikeouts. The young man they affectionately call the Tugboat, and he promotes that. 6'1", 260 is a big man, and he is off to a great start in his minor league career. He might not be in Lynchburg long. The next start could be somewhere else up the minor league ladder. We'll see for the Tugboat, Matt Wilkinson. But it was interesting because Rob had all those great things to say, and then he went out and backed it up that night in front of the farm director down in Lynchburg. Well, that's going to do it for our show this week. As always, thanks to Brian Motze for putting together the show each and every week. We'll join you next weekend back home when the Guardians are playing the Angels at Progressive Field. Until then, this is Jim Rosenhaus reminding you that you've been listening to Guardians Weekly on the Cleveland Clinic Guardians Radio Network.
Guardians Weekly has been brought to you by Progressive, helping Guardians fans save hundreds on car insurance.